Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Liz and Lex. We are here. I'm so excited, Lissa, to talk to you because I actually haven't talked to you all weekend. And we always do this recap of like what we did and what we didn't do. And normally a lot of that is like together, but this time we were separated. So I'm like genuinely curious what you did.
I was thinking this, like, I literally thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, we can actually like catch up, which is good. No, I'm so excited. Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, like we mentioned, so you were sick last week. I'm sick this week, so we're doing another Zoom. Mm-hmm. I just think it's more of that rundown stuff that we were talking about. I think that's what got me.
Yeah, and honestly, I know we like talked about holding each other accountable last week, and I genuinely canceled every single plan that I had during the week and like half of the plans that I had on the weekend, and I just chilled and got organized, and I feel like a different human. So I'm wishing the same thing for you.
Yeah, I think you really, really needed that. And for me, like, I definitely did hold myself more accountable with my to-do list, like we said. The issue was I was in New York last week for work and I was naturally busy. I think going from West Coast to East Coast like really messes me up. No matter which way I go, I always get jet lagged. But I think going there, I felt almost like even worse because I had to be up early every morning at like 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. East Coast time, which is 4 a.m. West Coast time. And yeah, waking up at 4 a.m. when I'm not used to that for 4 days in a row, it really took a toll on me. And then my hotel room in New York had like the air conditioning running, and I kept like trying to make it hotter in my room, and I love a cold room, but it was one of those air conditionings that like gives you a sore throat. And I woke up in the middle of the night like can't breathe.
No.
And I knew, I was like, this is gonna get me sick. And the second I came home, like, I just, from then on, I've had a cold.
I know, it's like when you stay at some of those hotel rooms where it's like, it's, you know, not, you can't regulate in room, and you're just like, I know this aircon is going to make me sick, and you feel it graduating into full sickness.
Yeah, I felt it coming. I'm like, oh, this is awful. But
oh my gosh, but how was the tea party? Don't spill, tell me everything.
I know.
You looked gorgeous.
Thank you. The tea party was great. It was with Spotify. It was so fun. I hadn't had an opportunity to celebrate the launch of my tea with my East Coast friends. So that's what this was. It was really fantastic. It was so many influencer people that I just like knew I would jive with that I haven't had a chance to like meet in person. And I finally did. Mm-hmm. And the most fun part was that everyone at the end who stuck around, we all went out to karaoke together. There was like 15 of us and we rented out a private room and did karaoke.
Oh my God, I love that. You know, I love karaoke. It's like one of my favorite things to do. So I saw that and I died. I was just like, this is exquisite.
It was so fun. The only thing that's like funny that I realized is like doing karaoke with a group of 15 people who are performers and attention seekers and not shy and all are talented is the funniest thing because it's like, we didn't care. It was like everyone just met and we're not doing a split. Like no one cared.
Absolutely. It's so funny because everyone's like autopilot is being outgoing and a performer. Mm-hmm. So it's like makes it so fun and funny. It's, I don't know. I'm glad. It looked like you had a blast. I was like, I obviously was glued to my phone all weekend because I was home and I was just like, oh, she's doing all these things. Except I did take a day off of my phone, which was so necessary. Oh my gosh. Like I didn't respond to texts. I didn't look at my Slack or my email. I didn't go on social media. And I just took a full break for like 36 hours.
Wow.
And I feel like my brain feels different this week. Like I know that's so odd to say, but it's genuinely how I feel.
I don't think I've ever done that in my entire life.
Yeah. I just had to take pause. I saw Dune 2, which is great.
Oh,
Yes. I feel like you need to see it. Are you?
No, I saw it.
Oh, you did. Okay. Yeah, I saw it finally. It was raining on Saturday, so I went out to a 10 a.m. movie with my friends.
Did you like it?
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, I think it's good, but like to me, it's an hour too long.
Oh, I could have watched for an hour longer. Like, these are my favorite types of movies. Like Blade Runner, Ender's Game, like all these like weird sci-fi, really
Okay,
long
but I
movies.
like that too. Like I love Ender's Game. I love Hunger Games. Like I like the weird like sci-fi thing, but not like I think what I like about the sci-fi that I like, even like Avatar and Fourth Wing, is like the
Yeah.
romance and like that part of it. So I get a little lost when it's just like long, like
The
25
story.
war scenes. Yeah.
It was, I would say, I did by the end of it kind of have to like, when there was like another fight scene, I was like, just tell me when it's over, you guys. Like, I'm closing my eyes. Like, after a while, I can't really stomach it. It's all like, you know, some people, like, you become numb to it. It's like the more I'm just like, oh, how much more does Timothy have to endure?
Well, that's kind of what I said to Sean. I was like, I feel like it's like there was just so many of the same type of scenes that it could have just been so much shorter for me. But I
Yeah.
know people love it. I thought it was well done. I think I'm also like into Timothée Chalamet. Like I finally get the hype. I think he's very beautiful.
So all the close-up shots of his face and stuff, I was like, you're so cute.
Yeah,
They're
he's
all so cute.
stunning.
Yes. I came out of there. I don't know what bald Austin Butler did to me, but I was like, wait, Austin Butler is it.
No, because like it was our first time seeing him without the Elvis accent. And I was like, oh, he can
Yes.
act.
Yes, and that is not your voice. Thank you for finally retiring it.
No, he had a good part in it. I do want to continue a little bit recapping before we get into like all the pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could relate to this. And I know that you just moved into an apartment. So like this probably isn't your mindset at all. But all of a sudden this weekend, like I was just watching people's like home content and I was like, I'm done with an apartment. Like I want to be in a house. And I know I just moved in here, but like I want to be able to paint the walls a color I want. I don't want to paint it back. I want to do like molding. I want a yard that I could like open my, I don't know. I was thinking about like I got this apartment because I was really freaked out about the safety in my last place, but now that I'm in this area, I feel much safer in this area. And I wish that, like, had I known I would have felt safer, I would have looked into like more of a house situation.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I don't know if I actually would have. Like, I probably
Like
would
you would
feel
buy
safe.
a house or rent a house, or you
No,
want to
like
buy
rent.
one?
No, like rent a house. Like you've been to Raina's house, right?
Of course, stunning.
Like I can't afford that, but like something like that is like my dream. I don't
Yeah,
know.
I
I
mean,
just I'm just so over apartment living.
I agree with you in that what I'm over is I like moved. I've now, this is the third apartment I've lived in 3 years in LA. And like, I'm going to stay here until I get a house for sure. But like, I'm like, for sure. But I hate having to make this furniture from like my apartment 1.0 that I love, like work in every new space. And I'm just like,
Yes.
I want one place that is mine, that everything, you know, has its place and was meant for that space.
That's how I feel. Like my bedroom in my old place was my favorite. It was a little small, but the walls in my old place came painted. They were like a grayish like taupe. And it made my apartment feel so much more luxurious because I had painted walls and not like these ugly ass white walls that are like that apartment white. And I really felt like my room was so like zen. And now in my new apartment, I've done all these things to make it feel like home. Like I put up peel and stick wallpaper. I've done all these things. And like, I just hate my bedroom. Like, I think it's so ugly. And it's because I'm putting my old furniture into it. And it's like this weird apartment white color. And I was just thinking, I'm like, I want to do all these changes, but like, it's an apartment. I don't live here. Like, I
I
don't want to
know.
paint the walls and I don't want to do all these things. And I'm tired of just not like customizing a space fully. It's like nothing could ever 100% look the way you want it to look when you don't own it.
Or it's a waste of money if you do. Like, I've seen a bunch of influencers like renovating rentals, and I'm like,
Yeah.
why are you doing that? That's
I agree.
absolutely crazy, you know?
I totally
But
agree.
I agree with you. I think, you know, I do worry. I used to really want to have, I was like, as soon as I get a green card, I'm gonna buy a house and da 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 da. The safety thing for me is the issue. I am too scared now to probably get a house until I'm like in a relationship or I don't know, have like a gated community, only because like it does freak me out.
No, it freaks
Like,
me out too.
yeah.
And I think, like, I don't even know if I've said this. Like, actually, I don't think I've ever told my audience this, but like, in a year's time, Sean will be deciding where he's going to work. And it might not be California. We don't know where it could be, basically. It could be literally anywhere. It just depends on his situation. And like, at this point in our relationship, like, I'm going to go with him. I we talk about like because we see ourselves like being together, and it's just one of those things where like we'll probably have to be in a random area for a few years. So part of us is like we'll probably buy a house when we move somewhere, even if we're just there for 3 or 4 years, because we like don't want to pay rent. But then it's like also that awkward thing where like he's like, I want to buy a house, and I'm like, no, but I want to buy a house, and we're not going to buy a house until we're like married. Like, you're not going to
Engaged,
combine your
married,
finances. Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, well, sure, I should let him buy the house and just save my money. But like, what if I hate it? Like, you know, like I need to stay in this house.
I mean, you, this is reminding me of the conversation. I don't know if you watched Summer House, but like with Paige and Craig, and then I go back to Southern Charm where like Craig bought the house and Paige is like adding a woman's touch to it, and he's like allowing for that. I feel like this is your parallel IRL universe, but it's
Yeah,
like,
it will be. Maybe we do
yeah.
it like that. Like maybe he gets the house and I do the renovations or something.
Yeah.
But
You'll
I don't
make
know.
it work.
We'll see. But I'm
Or
just
maybe
so
you
in my
get a
house
house,
after.
he gets the house, but you're renting a small apartment like in LA if you have to come back or New York or whatever, you know, and you pay for that.
That's actually what I was thinking, actually, because depending where I am, like probably just keeping like an office or studio, or like I might be in LA, I might be in New York, you never know. But yeah, so I've just been feeling this way. Literally the last week, I like got this idea in my head where I was like, I'm over it. Like, yes, I'm in my apartment. I've made it as homey as I could. It's fine. I don't feel that like love for it that I did with my old apartment, like the interior of it, because I like apartments to feel new and modern, and this one doesn't. And I've made it feel that way, and I'm gonna enjoy my time here, and it's much more easy to get from the outside to the inside, and like it's just better all around. I like the location, but I don't feel super attached to it. And I still have not lived here very long. Maybe it's that, but just something in me is like, I'm
You know,
ready.
I know this exact, that's why I moved.
Yes.
I know this exact feeling. I was just like, I'm happy with like the neighborhood and where this brought me, but like this isn't my space and I'm so much happier. I love where I am now. Like, and like
Why do I?
you can live anywhere a year.
I don't know why I feel this way though, because it's not a lighting issue. It's literally an ugly wall issue, which, like, part of me then is like, do I just paint for my mental health?
I mean, if you think it will make it better, yeah. What's the worst? They're going to charge you and paint over the walls anyway.
Okay, but then this is my other thing, really quick. The reason why I keep fighting that desire is because I'm leaving for 3 months this summer. I'm like, you're not even here. So what, you're going to paint for your renter to enjoy it?
Yeah, that's true. I think, I mean, when you leave in like a month, right?
I'm leaving in a month. So
I think
I'm
you
not going to paint
just
the
suck
walls.
it
I'm not going to paint the walls. We've
up.
decided. Oh.
I cannot believe. I love your place. I feel like you did such a homey, good job of it.
Really like the living space, and I really like the office. It's literally the bedroom, which is so weird. I don't know why I feel that way.
And that's so hard because, like, your bedroom is supposed to be your sanctuary.
I'm also a bedroom girl, which is the issue. Like, I hang out in my bed way more than I hang out on my couch.
Oh, yeah. See, I love the couch.
I wish I did. I like want to change that about myself.
We should take a poll. Are you a bedroom, like a bed girl, bed rock girl, or a couch girl?
Yes, I'm
Yeah.
such a freaking bed girl. And then the last thing I wanted to share is that I did this thing on Saturday. Was it Saturday or Sunday? I think it was Saturday, where I decided like there was this 2 weeks where Sean stayed with me and we basically like lived together for 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, I was cooking us like breakfast, lunch, and dinner because I was just having so much fun being in like my like housewife era. Like, not that he expected this of me. It's fun for me. Like, I really enjoy cooking.
Of
So I would
course.
like cook us dinner and I wasn't even cooking us the healthiest meals. Like, some had butter in them, some had cheese, but it was the week that I weighed the le like the least I've ever weighed in years. Like, I lost weight that week. And I think it's because I was just like cooking every meal. And even though some of them had like quote unquote bad ingredients, like a little butter in them, I was still using like whole ingredients and I was cooking and I like lost all this weight like literally in 1 week. And now I'm back. Like, it's back. And I've been like ordering in and eating out more. And so I decided like I have a trip planned in 2 weeks, then a trip planned a month after that. Like, I want to look snatched. I want to look good. So I meal prepped the hell on Sunday and I did like all different things that could just be mixed and matched into different meals. So I did chicken, like little chicken bites marinated. Then I did steak bites marinated. I did broccoli. I did cauliflower rice, cauliflower gnocchi, roasted potatoes, and roasted broccoli. And so like I have all this stuff for the week. And like this morning I made two eggs and I had a little steak and a little potatoes. And then that was kind of like breakfast and lunch. And then for dinner, I'll have some of my chicken and some of my broccoli. And I just like cooked for the week. And I don't know, I feel good about it.
I mean, I am such a cook for yourself at home advocate because as much as people love eating out, even if you're getting salads and blah, 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 the dressings have like palm oils in them or so much salt, more than you would add, or canola oil. Like you don't know what goes into the food that you're purchasing, even if it's quote unquote healthy food. Like you can make healthy food at home and like you're talking about butter and cheese being bad for you. And it's like, those are whole foods. That's real food. Like butter and cheese are real food. Like going out and eating processed dressing or like dips or something, like, you know, meals out, like even like they put extra things in like bread and chicken to like keep them longer because they're restaurant quality and they can't go bad as quickly. Like people don't understand these like small differences. And I always tell people when they're looking to like get back on track with their diet and stuff, I'm like, delete your apps of food delivery, cook your own food, and cut down your salt because they also overseason everything because they're doing it in batches in restaurants. Like, I feel like I always feel my best when I'm cooking for myself at home. And that's why I will always, even like this week, I have so many, my team is in town. So I have dinners Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday with a friend in town. Like I will always prep my lunches, like any meal I can have at home, I will have because it's the best food you can eat is the real food you make for yourself.
It's so true. It's and also I've been going to the farmers market on Saturdays and like I noticed I left some of my vegetables and stuff in my fridge. And when I came back a week later from New York, I was like, oh, I'll cook those vegetables because I'm used to my shit not going bad. And everything was rotted. And it's because it's not in pres like it's not covered in
It's
preservatives.
not full of pesticides.
Yes, pesticides.
People
So
don't realize this. I'm like, eat real. Like, the best thing you can do is buy high, like, what you can afford, buy like high quality, good ingredients for yourself. Learn about what it works like frozen, what you should buy organic and not organic. Like, do that homework. It's changed my whole life and my gut health and everything.
yeah, and I love cooking. I'm a really good cook, but I just wasn't doing it as much. And I'm like, we're back to it. So I am in my cooking era.
Love this. This is like my favorite conversation to have.
Well, yeah, because today's episode, we wanted to focus on adulting. And so I feel like that kind of like segues really nicely into this whole thing that we've been talking about, which is like doing nothing on the weekends and like resting. And I saw you had a mantra that you wrote down, which is like a quote that you wrote down, resting
Oh,
is
yes.
productive.
I was just like, I'm such a mantra girly. And I put in the notes, like, I had like a dinner with Meta on Tuesday. I had like a dinner on Wednesday. I canceled everything because I was like, I need to get better. And I was obviously like going on a spiral. I'm on Pinterest, like looking for inspirational quotes. And I came across this one that just said, resting is productive. And it's like, I had an epiphany. I've just been so go, go, go. It's like, I forgot. It's like, you can't fill pour from an empty cup. Like, I was on, you know, when the gas light comes on and then you keep driving, like, that's where I was, and the car died. And I just was like, I know I'm bored as hell, but like, after, you know, a little bit, I wasn't bored. It just, I was so used to being go, go, go. Coming off that was like, I was weaning off of that pace.
It's so true. And I actually think that's such a good way to look at rest. Like, it is productive when you're doing it in a way that is like good for you. Like, today I did that, honestly. Like, I was going to sign up for a Pilates class this morning and I was like, you're sick. Like, you're going to wake up and not feel like going. You're congested. Like, I really have done nothing today other than work. I haven't left the house. I mean, I've gone outside because I take Chai for walks and I get my packages, but like, you know, now I'm getting a little antsy that I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go to a store after this. But I've just been like, I gave myself the day. I was like, you could have a day.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. That's what I did yesterday. I went to Home Depot in the morning because I'm going to do like a DIY project next week on some dressers. But then I just organized everything. I did like three loads of laundry, my sheets. I went to the grocery store. Like, I did all of the things, like girlhood days, you know? Speaking of adulting, like I was like, I am going to prepare for my week. And then Lauren came over and we just like sat on the couch and hung out and it started raining. Like
Oh,
it just
it was
was a
hailing.
nice, it was crazy. It came out of
It was like
nowhere.
out of nowhere. It was like, I was like, is it hailing? I saw them bouncing off my balcony. I was like, oh my God. But yeah, I feel like it's so funny because the things that we talked about in our intro are so, like, they tie so well to the topic of adulting that we wanted to talk about, like me cooking and you being in this like nesting era in your home. Like, and I
I
feel like
know.
that's the thing that that's the thing with adulting. I feel like, tell me if this is like, I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion, but sometimes when I think about adulting and like how I like to be at home and I like to do these things, like, I don't want to live a life where I'm bored and I'm just like a recluse and I'm not doing anything, but sometimes that feels so good. But I tend to think that there's stages of life for different things. Like, I tend to think that your 20s are like your going out era. Then you go through like your nesting era and you have like children and you're kind of like your kids are young for a while and you're kind of in that vibe of like you're not drinking as much, you're staying in more. And then your kids are like out of the nest. And then you're back to partying. Sometimes when I blame myself for being boring now, I'm like, oh, I still, like, in 20 years, I know I'm gonna be like out on the town again.
Yeah, you're gonna catch your second wind. No, I agree. And I also feel like it's like, you know, that's like a very traditional path for people. But like, you know, even with me, it's like I'm still single, but it's like I'm not going out. It's like when I'm out, it's like I'm going to Europe for a month. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm
Same.
very content to like be at home because I'm just like, well, I know that I'll have these like different chapters of my year. And right now it's like, I also question, I'm like, you just moved, you're working on this project, like you're go, go, go. Always have like entertaining people coming into town. It's just like, chill out for a second. And we're so not used to that because we're so used to filling our time. But then when we like stop, we're like, oh, are we like boring? And I'm like, actually, staying home this weekend was so elite. I can't even describe it.
I
I
know.
felt so good. And like, I didn't have Sunday scaries because I just like got things that I needed to get done instead of worrying about them. But like, ignoring them, which also I think is a big thing of adulting. It's just like, are there bills that I have to pay or emails I need to respond to? Like, take the 2 minutes and just do it. You know, isn't that a saying? It's like, if it takes 2 minutes or less, just do it in the moment, or else you'll like avoid it. That's like a
Okay, that
thing.
That's me right now with having to print the shipping label to return something. I'm like, I keep putting it off because I have a label printer, but I don't have a printer. And I only know how to make labels for my tea brands. I don't know how to make a, like, a, I don't know how to use my label printer for just like a random label, if that makes any sense at all. So I keep putting off returning this thing, and I'm going to lose out on all this money if I don't return it. And I keep being like, oh, I'll get to it. And I'm like, it's the end of the day. You said this all day now. Like, it'll take 2 minutes. Go to Staples and print it. Like, just go do it. You know what I mean?
But like, where are you returning this? At UPS?
Yeah, I have to drop it off somewhere. But I
Yeah,
tried, I
you
went
can
to.
go somewhere that you can get them to print the label and return it for you. Like, you
I
could
know,
go to
but
FedEx or UPS and they'll do that. It's like
I
30
went,
cents.
I know, but I went to a place this weekend and like this box placed by me because I was gonna buy a box to put the stuff in. And the guy wouldn't do it for me. So then I was like, he's like, no, we don't print labels. So then I was back to square one. So I'm just like, but so again, yeah, I just need to go and do it. But it's one of those tasks that I'm like putting off because I just don't feel like doing it, you know?
And that is the adulting complex, I swear to God. It's like we sit with anxiety for the things that we have to do instead of just like being an adult and doing them, like making the checklist and tick it off. And like, I feel like that is the number one conflict of adulting versus non-adulting, you know?
I know. And like, and also just having responsibility of having to do things on your own. Like, I remember, I think the most I ever felt that struggle of like, wow, I'm an adult is when I was still in college, I was very much so still a kid in the sense that technically I wasn't, but I was not using my own money to live. I was using my parents. I was like living in a house with my friends. And yeah, we were living in a house, but we were like playing. We weren't real adults. We weren't paying our bills. We weren't paying our phone bills, our electricity, or this, or that. And then the second I graduated, my parents were very much of the, okay, we got you through to this point. You're on your own. And having that rug pulled from under me, like also, let me just say, I don't blame them one bit. I was so fortunate that they even helped me until that point. But when one day you go from having no help to being, I mean, only help to being on your own, I remember being in for like a shock of a lifetime because I didn't know how to budget money. I actually say this now. Sometimes I think it was like a disservice because almost like being spoiled when I was younger almost made me like not be able to be
A
good in
100%.
money. Yeah. Which like I don't my parents did everything they could in terms of like they gave us everything. You can never complain about that. But I think with my kids, what I'll try to do because I know how much I struggled was help them as much as I'm able to, but also make sure that I'm sitting down with them and showing them like how to do laundry, how to pay bills, how to budget. Because it was so that's when it hit me that I was like, oh my God, I'm an adult, but I still feel like a kid. And I don't know how to do any of this.
I know. And it's very weird and jarring because it's like all of a sudden one day you're just expected to like have all of these responsibilities and it, you know, you how do you like ease into that? Like when does that happen? Or is it just like you get thrown in and you figure it out? It's kind of crazy.
Well, I had this one friend who, like, she always did her own laundry, like, all throughout high school, like, actually, her whole life, like her parents just like made her do her laundry and they always made her have so much responsibility. And like she was so much better for it because when we were like adults, she would be like college kids, she would be like just doing all these things on her own and so much more independent. And I think that, yeah, that part of my adulting life was very jarring, like very jarring to me.
But I bet you learned quickly.
I learned quickly, but I also made mistakes along the way. Like I like my
Well,
first
that's
job.
human.
Yeah, I just like didn't know how to budget. I would like spend too much money on stupid shit because I wasn't used to being responsible. And like now I feel like it's been like a decade of me reverse engineering everything.
Like your brain.
No, like my habits, or like, or me, when I first started, when I first graduated college, like you didn't make a lot of money in my industry. So it's me spending money irresponsibly because I didn't understand. And now it's like me catching up and having to save so much money because I didn't have savings back then.
Yeah. So now it's like it's made you're over-indexing because you almost are like paranoid of never being in that position again.
Yes. Or like I remember one of the big mistakes that I made was one of my jobs paid me like a freelancer, but they kind of, it was honestly kind of sketchy on their part because they disguised it like they were going to pay me as like an employee, but they paid me as a freelancer. So I was getting all of my income every month instead of
You just pay
taxes being
tax on
taken
it.
out. And I remember my dad telling me, like, you got to put money aside for taxes, you got to put money aside. And I kept being like, yeah, whatever. And then all of a sudden, when it came time to owe taxes, I like had no saving. I had some, but it all went to that. And then I had no savings. And like that was one of those wake up calls for me. So now I almost put aside too much money because I'm like petrified from learning the hard way.
Yes, and you don't want to be in that position. It's like scary to think about, but I think that's also important to go through so that you learn how to course correct and then hopefully you don't make those same mistakes again. And it sounds like what you're doing is a good thing, you know? At
Were
least you
you?
have the patience to like make your I got a financial advisor. I'm like, I just trust you, like go off, girl.
Yeah, I need that. I need to hire someone this year. That's one of those things. And like also just investing more. Because like I said, now I'm saving money, but I don't know if I'm doing the correct things with it all the time. And it's like still those things sometimes where I feel like a kid where I need to adult a little bit more. And I try and I run a business and I do all these things, but I'm still very much like learning as I go.
And that's okay. That's life.
But do you,
You're being hard on yourself.
I feel like you're someone though that like has, you're very regimented and like you have it all figured out. Like, did you have growing pains or were you always pretty like too like good at this stuff?
My dad cut up my first credit card in front of me. Like, no, they gave me a credit card. I maxed it out. I was like, this isn't my money. See you later.
No, that
Like,
was me. I was bad.
psycho. Cut it up in front of my face.
My
Okay.
parents took
Like,
mine away too.
it was, and like, my dad held it over my head forever. So that also forced me to be ultra independent and figure out like who I was going to be and how I was going to understand finances. And then I got very strict with myself. I'm not perfect. Like this year has been expensive. Like I'm like, I gotta tighten it up because
Yeah.
I just like with the moving and everything, like life is expensive right now. Inflation is real. And I normally have like a monthly, I have like a budget and I make like a monthly money date where it's like, that's the day that I pay my bills. I check everything, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's stuff like my car lease is coming up. Do I want to convert it to own it? Do I want to give it up and get something else? Like, what is that going to cost? Those are all the conversations I'm having with myself. And again, to the point of adulting, I think where I've converted is going away from the like avoidant attachment to secure attachment with money and just ripping the band-aid. Like, just it's so much better for my mental health. And I would assume most people's when they get to this place to just spend the time dealing with it and rip off that band-aid, then put it off and continue to stress about it. And it's going to continue to be there. Like, make the plan and figure it out when it comes to money versus ignoring it because the anxiety associated with like debt or like not understanding your finances lingering over your head is a hellscape compared to just facing it and dealing with it head on.
That's me. I have avoidant money attachment. Like
Yeah.
it is,
Most people do. It's scary.
I think I'm really traumatized from that time. Like I've talked about this a little bit, but I'm really traumatized because I took so many risks in my career. Like, for example, my first job ever out of college, I talk about this super openly. My salary was $28,000. $28,000 in New York
in
City.
New York City.
Okay. I made it work. I had no savings. Then every time I would switch jobs, I would get like a $10,000 to $15,000 like increase, which is why I switched jobs like every year. I wound up doing just fine. And then I started influencing and I had two salaries at one time, which is really great. I always found a way to like make it. But because I had so many years of making a really low salary in New York, I never had savings. And then when it came time from that one job to owe those taxes, I had like, let's say 10K saved and I owed like 8K to taxes.
Yeah.
So I had no cushion. So I think that instilled such a fear in me. And now I have an overabundance of savings because I have this fear, but I do this weird avoidant thing. And I would say that's my one thing that I really need to work on more as we talk about adulting. Like I've had on my to-do list for 3 months to reach out to this financial advisor. And I can't bring myself to do it. And I've had on my to-do list for 3 months to invest my money and I can't bring myself to do it. And it's like, why do I have, even doing my taxes this year, like obviously I have to do that when I'm going to, but I keep
Me
putting
too.
It off until the deadline. Like, why do I have this, like, that's the one area of my life that I'd really love to like
Buckle
really
down.
work on. Yeah, because I don't want to have this anxiety attached to it. It's almost like I have this mindset where I'm like, okay, this brand owes me X amount of dollars. If I don't submit my invoice, then I know that money is like out there in the ether and not in my account. So if I need it for a rainy day, then I could submit the invoice and get the money. It's like I have this weird, and I don't need it like that, but I have this like weird mentality that money is scarce and that I'm going to run out and that I like need to keep like a rainy day fund. And I don't know why I feel that way when I finally do have a cushion.
Yeah, you've got to switch your money scarcity mindset. Also, I know you did like a money manifestation. Like you have to pivot from the money scarcity mindset because the other thing is like you definitely will, like you have enough money to figure, like to do everything. You know what I mean? It's just, I think what people do is, or what they fear is like making the changes required to live comfortably. Most people live out of their means. I do too at times. You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, girl, reel it back in. Like, but nobody wants to actually change. And then changing to live within your means is hard. Like people don't want to.
But
you
I
want to
wonder...
decorate your apartment. You want to get a dog, you want to travel, like, and then suddenly you're like, I'm using you as an example, but this is everyone. And then suddenly you're like, oh, I've spent so much money and I'm scared now. Like, do I have enough cushion?
Yeah,
you
maybe
do.
That's maybe what it is. But this is the other thing. Like, I don't know if, like, let's say I made millions of dollars a year. I still think the way it currently is, I would feel this way, which to me shows it's a mindset thing and not an income thing. Because
but I think a big part of that is understanding where your money is and what it's doing and when, which is why I do these monthly money dates and go through a budget, because it's like, it's ripping off the band-aid. It's knowing like where my money is and how much I have and what it's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to implement something because I also think I've always had this mindset where, because I've felt very like on my own in terms of like being single for so long, not having the backup of my parents, not having the backup of a boyfriend, like living in a city that was so expensive. And again, now living in a city that's so expensive, I always felt like I didn't have anyone to shoulder that burden with me. And even now, I still don't feel that way because Sean and I aren't married. I don't rely on him financially and vice versa. So I still don't feel that, but sometimes I need to remind myself that this is a temporary thing. And like one day I will be part of a couple and I could like split those things with someone. Like, because again, it's not the number for me. I think I could be making millions of dollars and I would still feel this way. It's a mindset that I need to switch. That's like some kind of like trauma or something. Like I have something in my head that
I
is
wonder
like,
what it is. like where it stems from. Like mine always stemmed from my dad being so mad at me about that first time and that credit card fiasco of my
Mine was,
20s.
I really think mine was the taxes thing. Like, I remember that day. Like, I was sobbing on a street corner in New York. Like, I remember
No.
feeling just so sad and like so broken because I hadn't like budgeted correctly and like I hadn't saved. And I just felt this scarcity around if I have to spend all this money and I'm living to paycheck to paycheck, I won't be able to afford my rent. So for me, it's always been like a rent trigger.
Yeah, I
Like
get that.
it was some weird thing. Like I wonder if I like were to buy a house if I would feel that way. I don't know. It's just like some weird
Of
trigger
course you would,
that
because you're paying a mortgage.
I
It's so
know.
taken every month. And property taxes, make sure you're banking for that.
It's some weird trigger that happened in New York. Like I'm telling you, like I know the street corner where it happened, where the trauma occurred.
Right here, Sean. This is where the trauma happened.
But I'm curious if people listening feel this way because they do say like one of the top stressors in life is like money. And I wonder if people just like feel this like scared mindset around it like I do.
I would assume 1,000% yes. Like every time people are like, money can't buy you happiness, I'm like, no, but it could like save me a lot of stress, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, I think it could buy me a lot of happiness.
Because I know when I like when my money is like good and things are going fine, like I sleep better at night, you know? Like
And
I feel better.
I feel so good when I save. I'm like, oh, that it feels rewarding. Like it feels like I'm finally able to like invest into my future.
Yeah. I just put again with my financial advisor, like I put stuff from my paycheck automatically away to save so I don't even touch it.
Yeah.
Like, could I use that money? Absolutely yes.
But you
But
know what this just reminded me of? Remember our very first episode? I said I was having the breakdown about freezing my, like the surgery and freezing my eggs. It's all triggered from the same thing. It's the savings thing because I'm triggered from that time that I had to pull my whole saving. It
And you're
all
like,
comes
I don't
from the
want to
same.
tap into these.
Yes, it all triggers from the same thing. I wonder if I can get hypnotized, not to be weird.
You think?
Because like yeah, I could work through it in therapy, but I wonder if I could work with someone on like rewiring like my trigger around it.
Yeah. Isn't there, what is that therapy called? That
Like
like
the tapping
goes in,
one.
yeah, but it like goes into your trauma, you
That's what I need
know?
to do. That's like what I'd be really interested in seeing because I want to like release myself from these shackles.
Release your inhibitions. Feel the rain on your skin.
Thanks for letting me vent about my deepest, darkest
No, I
insecurity.
love it. I love this. So I don't love it, but like these are the conversations I want to have. I think it's important. Like, trust me, everybody, this is a universal thing. Everybody goes through this. And I would assume that 9 out of 10 people have the money scarcity mindset, especially in Esta Economía. Like, come on, times are the worst right now.
Yeah, and I feel like I want to like say one thing just for self-protection, which is like I feel really insecure talking about this because I feel like I always try to acknowledge my privilege. And like one time when I was working at Barstool, I said something about like, you know, again, this comes up for me a lot because this is like a trigger of mine. And I remember saying something on my podcast about like my parents one time said to me, like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, we're not going to let you like live on that, like live on the street. Like, we will have to help you, which like I'm so fortunate that they said that. And my dad always reminds me because I got like negative kickback from saying that publicly. And like now I feel insecure about even talking about these things because I have this like stigma where I'm like, oh, well, people think that like my parents just pay for my life because that's what people took from it. Like, oh, Alyssa's dad said he'll just pay for her when my parents haven't paid a penny to my life in 15, 12 years, however long I've been out of college for. But like now, because people commented on it, now I'm insecure about talking about these things. And then I also feel like it gives this, like, you know, people love to count influencers' money. Like, people look at where I live or my life and they're like, how does she afford this all? And it's because I'm able to, and it's because I do save. And I don't want people to think like me talking about this is me like saying I don't have money, or saying that I do have money, or saying that my parents help me, saying that they don't. Like, I want to be able to talk about something that like triggers me without the judgment of like comes from people like speculating. Does that make sense?
Yes, I wonder if it would be therapeutic for you to do like a conversation around like how you do make your money. Again, I'm putting it out there. I'm not saying this is what you have to do, but like be like, this is what I make for posts, or this is what I make with brand deals, this is what I make for my business. You know, like I wonder if it would be therapeutic for you to do almost like a how I made it, you know, or how I got it type episode where you like go through the process. But then I also understand that like that could be asking for it, you know, like
That's why I feel
so.
like I'm damned if I do, I'm
But I
damned if I
wonder if it
don't.
would be therapeutic for
Because like
you,
I
not
want to
about anyone
share,
else.
yeah, and like I want to share this with people because I think it's relatable. People at home probably feel so triggered by money, whether they have a lot or they have a little. Like they probably feel like me, whereas like I said, I don't know what number I could have in my account that would make me not feel this way. Like I just have this weird attachment around it, and I want to be able to talk about that because I know that's relatable. But at the same time, then I'm like, oh great, now people are going to question all these things. And yeah, it's like it makes me feel vulnerable and it makes me feel uncomfortable, and like I'm not ashamed to admit that. Like having this
Yeah.
conversation, I feel like I'm opening up myself to getting judged in a sense. But I think it's really important to like talk about these things that like we all have like weird anxieties around.
1,000. I always like, look, I don't need people to share their salaries with me or whatever, but like, I always talk to people about like, make a budget. Like, and even if you're not making a budget, track your spending month over month. Like I said, right now, I'm in the red, girl. Like I'm
Yeah.
getting paid and it's going on the credit card more than I normally do versus like a savings. And I'm just like, but it's temporary. And I
Yeah.
moved. Like it's not like I went buck wild and went to like Ibiza for a month, you know? Like these are life expenses. This is adulting. So I give myself that grace because it will come back and I'll figure it out. And if I have to pull money out of my savings, okay, that's what they're there for. If I have to go to my financial advisor and be like, I need to cut back on how much I'm contributing monthly, like we'll have those conversations. But it's about having the conversations and making the plan that will help people hopefully get to a better mental place with money. But you have to be honest with yourself at the very least about it.
Yeah, because even the way you just described that entire thought process that you would have and do have made me feel like, wow, I need that outlook. And I really, and maybe that is why I need to hire someone that could hold me accountable and have those conversations with me, because I'm not, if I make a date once a month that I check in with myself, I'm not going to do it because I'm scared of it. But if I have an advisor that I have a standing monthly meeting with, I'll show up.
Yeah. So maybe that's what you do.
Yeah.
And like, I think you can like go get an advisor like at your bank and have a monthly check-in. Like, I don't think you even need to like pay somebody necessarily, you know?
Yeah, it's just so interesting. And like,
It's building the habit.
I didn't even mean to go on like such a big like tangent about money, but I do think that it is such a big part of adulting. Like, as we look into like investing in your future and wanting to buy a house, and like I said, with my reproductive health and all of these things, like it really does play such a role into that next moving into these next stages of our life.
Yeah, and I mean, this is actually a good topic. Like, I spoke with my friend Maggie. I was telling you from Hot Smart Rich. She's got a great TikTok, Maggie Sellers, and she's more about like angel investing and that type of finance, but I'm going to speak with her next week because I want her to come on the podcast before, you know, the six wrap and kind of have the conversation around what, like, have the finance conversation. I feel like somebody like that that's in the industry and she's had a really like decorated past. She's done like different things. I feel like she's a great person to have a broader conversation with this on. So I'm really curious.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that that would be really, really helpful and nice because I'm also interested in investing, and that's something like I know so many people are always like, yeah, I'm an angel investor, and I'm like, but how do you do it? Like, I don't, you know, there's all
I
these
mean,
things. I don't even
Yeah.
know.
Yes.
There's so
And she can
much
talk, we
there.
can talk about it. There's so much. And
But
somehow you just have to rip off the band-aid and learn about it.
it all works out. And I put too much stress on myself with this stuff. Like, I really am hard on
Yes.
myself.
You have to give yourself grace, please.
Anything else on adulting that you want to touch on?
I mean, I think this whole conversation really summed it up in just like, it is day to day, sister. Like, it is day to day. Some days there's good days, most days there's stress, but it's a luxury to even be having these conversations. And I don't take that
Yes.
for granted.
Yes, true. I'm into that. Speaking of adulting and going into our industry news segment, I Reddit went public. I hate Reddit. Guess what I did this morning?
Bought Reddit stock?
Yeah.
Did you?
You know how I feel? If you can't, what's the saying? If you
If
can't
you
beat them,
can't
join
beat them,
them.
join them. Oh my God, I don't even know how much it was. It's
Yeah, the
30%.
I bought 10 shares.
Oh my God. Oh, it's not that bad. It's $59.
Yeah. So I decided, you know what? I'm gonna invest because since they did, like, think about how many people. Also, wait, I don't know. I feel like there's a weird thing with giving financial advice. So let me just disclose, like, I'm not giving any financial advice or telling you to buy anything. But what I was thinking was, like, how many times do people think about, like, Tesla or Facebook or Meta or all these things? And they're like, I wish I bought stock when it was. I'm like, you know what? They just went public. They're a huge social platform. Like, I should get in.
A hundred
Sounds.
percent. I think that's great.
Yeah, I don't know if
I'm
that's like a
like,
sound opinion, but I was like, okay.
no, it's really good. I actually, my financial advisor called me on Friday and I need to talk to her, but it's different with me because I have stock through my work, like where I've worked. So I'm like, can you, like, I wonder if I should transfer some of it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
isn't that
I
funny?
think
So
it's very smart.
I was like, so speaking of my financial situation, I was like, I'm gonna buy stock today. This is also why I'm such a bad numbers person because I'm just like, this looks good. I don't know what I'm doing.
This looks good. I feel good about this.
Yeah, I'm
Oh
like,
my
oh.
God.
And
But
then
yeah.
also, yeah, but like Reddit going public is like kind of wild. I also just sometimes wonder like how it's still allowed.
I mean, it's basically Google with the search results in comments.
Fair.
You know?
And it is really
It's a
helpful for some
discovery. It's a
things.
discovery platform. It's a discovery platform. Just like Google is a discovery search engine, Reddit is a discovery search engine. We argue that Pinterest is the same thing with like, it's a discovery search engine, but it's visual. Like, you know,
Yeah.
you type in something and then the results, TikTok, the same thing now, like, because there's so much content on there. Like, you go for a recipe.
They're trying to even make Instagram like that.
Yeah.
So,
It's kind of
yeah,
crazy.
that's why I got in. And then also on our industry news, like a little bullet point list was the
Love
housekeeper
your little
slash.
Wolf of Wall Street moment. I got in.
Yeah, like, am I okay? Like, here I go from talking about like money to being, yeah, I bought stock today. This is why I'm
I
not
love
okay.
it. It's great. It's so great.
Speaking of money, Alex Cooper did a Skims collab.
Yeah, with the wedding essentials drop, and her fiance is in it, but we never see his face. I thought it was very clever.
Very clever. What did you like? I don't know why. When you think of Skims, like, I'm trying to think how to articulate this. When you think of Skims, do you think of Skims, the clothing brand, or do you think of Kim Kardashian, the clothing owner associated? Because I can't necessarily see Kim doing a Alex Cooper collab, but I could see why Skims did it. Does that make sense? Like, I connect the two in my head, so I have a hard time.
Oh, I mean, originally I thought about Kim Kardashian, but now that I own and love so much Skims, like I back Skims so hard, I think of the quality of the clothing. Like, I love Skims products,
No, me
genuinely.
too. I'm wearing their
So
pajama
that's
pants
where
right
my
now.
brain goes. That's where my brain goes. But I think this was so smart for Kim and Skims to pull Alex Cooper in this because, like, Alex Cooper is like a media darling, and she's done such a good job of parlaying her call her daddy image into this new like boss bitch era. And I feel like that's like what we're seeing. We're getting this like she's leveling up and rising to the
Yes.
occasion. And like she could be the next Kim Kardashian, genuinely. Like I would call that now. You know what I mean? Like a mogul. Because the other thing that I've heard from like industry is like she's really fucking nice and professional. Like
Yeah.
you hear about some of these other people that skyrocketed during COVID and things like that like aren't really as, you know, mainstream anymore because they kind of like burned bridges or had attitudes and they got, you know, it went to their head really quickly. Like she's really, really nice and has like a great personality and is professional. And I feel like we both know this. Like I might not always have like the biggest following you, whatever, but it's like if you have good relationships, that will take you so far. And that's what everyone says about Kim. She's always on time. She's the nicest person. She remembers things. She looks you in the eye. She asks about you. Like, I just feel like Alex Cooper is like following that. And I think it's more advantageous for Skims to put her in this, knowing the age that she's like at an age where other girls that love her are also getting married. I think it's brilliant. I thought it was so smart.
I thought it was really smart, and I thought it was really unexpected.
Yes.
Like,
And I
that's
wonder if
what,
Kim will go on call her daddy.
and that's why I was saying, like, that's why I opened with saying, like, do you, when I think of Skims campaigns, I think of Kim hand selecting these people. And I think that's why it felt unexpected to me because, like, I could see Kim, like, when she does the pop icons or the, you know, the 80s icons, the Victoria's
Athletes.
Secret models, the athletes, like, I feel like it is people that Kim is hand selecting. And I, to my knowledge, these two have never had a conversation, like in my head, you know, they don't know each other. So when this happened, I was like, oh, this is unexpected in a good way.
Yeah. No, I think it was really smart. It was, I didn't expect it either, because you're right. I didn't think like, even though they have, I'm like, oh, well, these two have like never been in the same room to have a conversation,
Yeah.
but it makes so much sense now that it's been put directly in front of my face.
Yeah, and I thought it was great imagery. The campaign itself was great. I love that she keeps her partner private but not hidden. And I thought that it was really great the way his like face wasn't in the images and stuff. So yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really great.
I know. It looked really good. It was cute.
How do you think the payment goes down for these types of partnerships? Like, do you think when it's a collaboration or a campaign, do you think they're getting paid as talent for the shoot, or do you think they're making a cut of every sale? Because I think it's just a bridal collection. I don't think
Yeah,
she's getting a
she's
cut
the
of the
face of
sale.
like, I think I would assume she is the face of a wedding essentials collection that Skims curated, like their merchandisers or whatever. And she's getting paid as talent like a model would.
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe, if people really want to negotiate in something, it's like she would do it for free for like shares or some sort of like sweat equity so that she can invest in the company. But like, I highly doubt, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of like Beyonce did that with Uber early in the day. Like, she did a performance in exchange for shares and then they went public and she got a ton of money, you know, like a lot of these people,
Wow.
that's how people keep making money.
That's actually so genius. Like, so genius. Wow. Let's transition into our pop culture segment. I have not watched the Quiet on Set docuseries. You did.
Let's hold on it then.
Okay, but I don't know if I'm going to watch it because my friend Ashley made a really good point. We were texting and she was like, I don't know if I want to, like, if I needed to just watch about like child abuse for 4 hours. Like, she was like, I'm unwell. And I'm like, is hearing about it enough for me? Like, do I need to see this?
That's totally fair. Yeah, 100% fair. It's a lot. It's a
That's what
lot,
she
and
said.
it's
She was
like,
like, I'm traumatized.
Yeah. And it's very sad to hear from some of these kids. And it's very sad to see like the kids like Drake Bell, who like went on to like go missing and had like substance abuse and alcohol abuse. And obviously we all know Amanda Bynes' story, like all of these promising young children, to then like see what happened to some of them. And then the ones that like made it out, you know, it's just really, it's hard. I couldn't watch it all in one sitting at all.
Yeah, and I'm not to say I'll never watch it, because I do think things like this are made to be watched so we know what goes on out there. And I think it's really important to stay like informed. But I think I'll wait to watch it when I'm not PMSing, because I'm PMSing today. I don't know if I need to like have a breakdown tonight, I do think I'll watch it. I'm also such a consumer of media that I've heard so much already
Yeah.
that I'm always a little less compelled to watch something when I've already heard about it all. Does that make sense?
Of course. And like, I mean, this is one where it's like, if you've got the deets and you got the download, skip it.
Yeah, it just sounds awful. Like, what a schmuck this guy is. And like, for Dan
Disgusting.
Schneider to come out with like an apology, being like, yeah, I wasn't always the nicest. It's like, that's not really what
Too
we're
little,
angry
too
about.
late.
Yeah, but
Too little, too late.
it's like there's so many bigger claims than just him being rude. You know, it's like, that's what you're apologizing for? What?
Yeah, it's tough.
Vanderpump Rules.
Okay, I
So,
put this down because I was like,
yeah.
first of all, I want your first thoughts on the Valley, but also, like, everybody is turning on Ariana. Like, what's the deal here? She finally purchased a house and got out of, hopefully, we'll get out of her and Tom's house, but like, I have really torn thoughts on what's happening with the VPR cast, but I want yours first.
So the only thing I know is what I consume on social because I am not watching Vanderpump Rules this season. And I know.
Why?
I don't know. I sometimes feel I know too much. Like, I feel like I knew everything as it happened when they were filming. So now that it's airing, I'm like, oh, I know. I don't need to watch this. Do you get what I'm saying? Like I feel like I
Yeah.
hear too much or know too much or I just don't really. I feel like we all tuned in last season because of the Scandoval situation, but even before that, I was not watching because I was done with the show. Like
Yeah. I
I'm
wasn't
not
watching
that.
before Scandoval either.
Yeah, like I'm not that invested in the show anymore. And like the one scene that I recently saw was the episode before the Valley because I was going to watch the Valley. And so I watched the episode before, and it reminded me of what I don't like about it and what I do like about the Valley. So I do want to talk about the Ariana stuff, but I'll just touch on that transition really quickly. What I don't like about VPR is when shows are on air for so many seasons, it becomes too obvious to me when there's like a producer ploy. And I feel like this entire season, the little bits that I've seen have been so obvious. And I don't know if it's just because I have like a keen eye for reality television or if the show's been on air too long. Like the whole like Lala texting Raquel thing in the first episode, it's like clearly the producers made you do that because you didn't know if she was coming back or not. This episode, it was the scene with Katie and Tom apologizing in the kitchen when Ariana was like, I had to run upstairs really quickly. And Katie sat in the kitchen and Tom came in. It's like, that was the most produced scene I've ever seen in my life. Because, you know, otherwise they would not have agreed to like do
Hell
that.
no.
And that is what makes me not like the show because I'm like, in real life, Katie would never see Tom again. She just
Correct.
wouldn't. And like, that's what makes me like not like the show as much. So I don't know. It's like not as fun for me to watch when I like know things are set up.
So then, what is the fact that you liked The Valley or transitioning to that is like it's a fresh show?
Yes. It's because it's like people have like a clean slate to like have beef with each other and like and not just like not everyone hates each other so much yet where it's like to the point where they're being forced to film together. It's like new.
Yes. Yeah. It's new and I like it. They committed.
Wait, let's
Everyone's
go
gonna
back to the Valley, though. I want to go back to the thing that you said about Ariana.
hate it. Okay, go.
But just like about, it seems like everyone's turning on her. Could you debrief me a little bit on like,
So it's
I
not even
know.
on the show. It's like we're starting to see it on the show, but also like we're hearing it in the media, like
Yes.
Lala, Sheena, basically everybody except Katie are kind of like turning on Ariana. And again, we're starting to see it on the show, but like we're also hearing rumors swirling about it on like Watch What Happens Live episodes or on social media and things like that. So I just like find it like I'm just like fascinated by it because I'm like all these people, you know, profited off of the situation, whether they want to say that they didn't or didn't like send it to Daryl, the Uber Eats commercials. So I'm curious what's like changed that is making them turn. Has Ariana changed or has their like money train by association run dry?
I think her star power has changed, and I think everyone on the cast has always wanted to be some kind of actor or actress or singer or this or that. And I think in the beginning, it was easy for them to champion her because she just went through this huge thing. And now I think the longer it goes on and the more her star power is not dying, they're like, why not me?
Yep. I mean, what happened, the success that she saw from this situation, not to take away, is like a once in a lifetime thing to happen to a reality star. But
And
she's also talented.
it also is kind of unfair, but it's just the situation. Like they've all, like I'm sure you could argue something for every single person. Like Kristen, like Sheena was dragged through the mud because of Eddie Cyprian season one. Like Lala had the whole Randall thing. Like they've all had these things, like where they could have had this moment, but it didn't happen to them. And it's unfortunate it didn't. And it is kind of like, yes, it did happen to Ariana and not them. And they've all been cheated on and et cetera. But it's just the way the cookie crumbled. And like, who's to blame her?
But I think that's what I want to know. I'm like, it feels like they are blaming her, or is there something we're not seeing or like getting, you know?
Unless
That's
there's
my.
something. Unless she's like not being humble, but I don't see that happening. Like, unless there's something behind the scenes. But like, I just think it all stems from like opportunity. And it kind of like reminded me, watching The Valley kind of reminded me of like the demise of Sandoval and Jax's friendship because I forgot about it since it's been so long. And I think it was kind of when both Toms got Tom Tom and Jax was kind of like, wait, but I'm the number one guy in the group. Like, I invented the show. And like, that was another thing where it actually really wasn't fair because Jax was way more popular than Schwartz, but Schwartz got the opportunity. And it just like, and that created like the demise of their friendship. And I feel like it's kind of similar where it's like maybe there are other people that were maybe more like quote unquote popular for longer, but it happened to Ariana and like life isn't
That's the
always
way
fair.
it is. That's the way it is. I mean, I loved the Valley. I read this tweet that somebody was like, I don't want to watch like Kyle and Lindsay get drunk on Summer House, but they are in my like age demographic. So like I like the Valley where it's like I feel like
Yes.
I'm watching people in like my life stage and my age demographic.
That's so true. And I said this to Summer House. Like I always like would like verbally pitch this concept on my podcast where I was like, they need to transition the people from Summer House into like Southern Charm type of show because Southern Charm is good because they're not all living in a house together. They're in their respective homes, but they live in the same city. These people all live in New York City. Make a Southern Charm style show in the city and then recast for Summer House with a new young cast. Like, I fully stand by that.
I bet if the Valley, this first season of the Valley is successful, they will do that in New
It's
York.
going to be called like Hoboken.
It? Dumbo,
Yeah, like
Flatbush.
the in-between place that people go.
Or you
So
know
true.
what? Whatever some like popular subway line that people take is what it's going
Yeah,
to be called.
like the L train, whatever. Like that's so funny. Yeah, that's what it's gonna be. But they
For
need to
sure.
like But it's true that they do need to do that. But yeah, I think the Valley, like, obviously it was only one episode and they have to like set it up, you know? Like, I know it's going to be such a drama-filled season based on the preview, but it felt really refreshing. I think it worked. I know there was a lot of people who didn't want to see Jax and Brittany and Kristen on their screens again because people just don't like them for the reasons they were canceled the first time. But I actually think it was really refreshing watching a new show where you knew some of the people. Because if it was a completely all new cast, I don't think we'd be as into it as we are.
No, because the whole reason this show caught people's attention, like I think it's different for us, like, but the mainstream is because of the connection to Vanderpump coming off of Scandoval, right? Like I've been listening to some podcasts and they're like, this show would not have gotten made if Scandoval didn't happen. And I'm
It
like,
wouldn't have,
I kind of think you're right. But
but
I'm
it
glad it
wouldn't
did
have.
because like I really enjoyed it and I think it has huge potential. And that seems
Well,
to be the sentiment that a lot of people share.
and I think one of them talked about this publicly, but before it was like for years Jax was shopping it around. And then like before Scandoval, they were like, maybe we'll shoot a pilot. And then when Scandoval happened, they ordered a series, a season. Without the pilot, even they're like, no, we're getting a season. They struck while the
I
iron
like it.
was hot, and I think it worked. And I think that the cast is great because they do still have those same ties where they all know each other and they've known each other for years. And I think I'm just partial because they're my friends and not our friends. But like Jason and Janet, I think are going to rule the show. But I don't know if we're just biased. But I think even if I didn't
They're
know them, I would
the
still think they're the most normal.
Absolutely. No, they're fantastic. I love them, obviously, but like I loved them as characters. And I think that they have such potential to be like an outlier on the show. And maybe that is my like momager, you know, like everything you do is perfect, sweetie. But like I feel, I don't know, I feel like they definitely. They were great. I'm so excited to keep watching them.
You know how they do those like polls for like hottest like house husband or whatever? I was like joking to Jason. I'm like, I think you're gonna like be on the polls. Like, I think you're gonna like, we're gonna see. I'm gonna be like voting for
For
you in one of those
sure.
like
It's only
competitions.
a matter of time.
But yeah, it's nice because they're like nice, cool, down to earth people. And like, it's fun to watch like a normal couple who I think a lot of couples on the show were like going through problems and like they have a really nice relationship. So I think that that also adds a balance because you can't have every couple on the show falling to pieces.
Correct. Like, not everyone can be a train wreck. We need a balance. We need a balance.
We need balance. Really quick, did you see the Diddy home raid?
I just saw it as I was coming on here. They're raiding his homes in LA and Miami, under a warrant that is tied to sex trafficking. There were two of his sons in his LA home that they were both handcuffed outside of the house to wait while the SWAT team, these were like, they looked like G.I. Joes, like in the full helmet,
Oh my God,
green
I'm looking
suits,
at the
garb.
yes.
It was
Pulled down my
nuts.
spine.
This is so fucking creepy. Like, I just, you really like, I just like don't like, this is like the quiet on set. If whatever comes out like on acid, you know? Like, it's Diddy, Puff Daddy.
Aubrey O'Day is sitting somewhere kicking her feet. Because she, I feel like for years, tried to say how like there was so much mistreatment during making the bands and like how he would make advances at her. And then Cassie came forward with that lawsuit. And then it seems like they settled out of court because he probably paid her an ungodly amount. But like the lid has been blown off where there's smoke, there's fire. At this point, if there's a SWAT team, if there was the Cassie lawsuit, if we've heard all these people for years say something, I pray to God it's not as large scale because I don't want there to be victims. But something's happened.
Yeah, no, like they got him. They got enough to warrant this type of search. Like, this was not a
Oh.
calm, small thing. This is a big deal. And the fact that it's been publicly shared that it is on suspicion of like ties to sex trafficking is really messed up.
I'm trying to read right now just because I'm like really curious. Aerial footage over Combs' home in LA showed multiple armed law enforcement officers walking around the grounds of the property. Mobile command post vehicles were visible at both his homes in LA and Miami, where agents were processing paperwork on card tables. It will take time to locate and process evidence, given the substantial size of the properties. You know what's kind of crazy? Just like my psycho head. It must be so fun to be part of a mission like that, because like it happened in two places at once. Like imagine like being on the phone with ops being like, go in now.
Yeah. Open the doors. Open the doors.
Both people,
this is
both
your video teams. Game brain. This is your video game brain.
No, because they look like the people that I play in my video game.
That is exactly what just happened to you.
I'm just thinking about the thrill of like them being like, now, and all of a sudden you have to like run in.
Get down on the ground.
Like, because this happened at the same time in both cities, you know that this was timed so meticulously because they happened simultaneously.
Because I bet they wanted the element of surprise in both areas so that he couldn't contact, or anybody that's a part of this with him couldn't contact, like if it happened in LA, they didn't want to give them time to like remove any evidence in Miami. You know what I mean?
100%. And what I want to know is if Kathy, if she was the, if her lawsuit was the thing that blew this operation open, or if this has been like an ongoing thing.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
You know, like was that their red flag to be like, let's look into him?
There have been long blinds and rumors about Puff Daddy and his like less than, you know, respectful behavior with young children, but nothing like, at least for me, it was all lore, you know, like, but when the Cassie stuff came out, like there was more rumblings in that like blinds community, but this is like next level. But again, all those like blinds, I Beyond the Blinds, one of the friend Kelly is my friend on Beyond the Blinds, that's like a big blinds podcast. She was just like, rotten hell, like they know so much. Apparently this is like been underlying for years.
What a sick fuck.
Yeah,
I always believe, like, you know, some people are like, oh, guilty until proven innocent. When there's something to this caliber, like,
exactly,
you're, especially when it's like, I hate to say it, but like a man, like sometimes when it's women, I'm more so to be like even when like all the Amber Heard stuff was going on, I was more so like, okay, let's like not victim blame her, she's like, I wanted to hear her out more sometimes, like I don't know, but when it's like a man and this stuff happens, I'm like, nope, they're wrong, like they did it.
Yeah, I mean, look, to your point, the fact that they raided both houses in this way, like something bad happened under those roofs, like something's going down.
How much money do you think he had to settle with Cassie? Is it Cassie or Cassidy? What is it? What's her
Cassie
name?
Cassie.
Is there Cassie. Some like, what kind of money do you think they had to settle with for her to shut up? It's got to be like 20 mil,
probably more. Yeah, like they probably had to give her a fuck ton of money. And you know what? Like, I think the other thing, and I would never like, I'm glad she took it, because like this also, this situation with like these cops and stuff, I'm going to assume like he's probably a violent man. And if you don't listen to him, or, you know, he'll resolve with violence.
And also, not for nothing, like how's she ever gonna have lawyers that are gonna go up against his lawyers? But what I kind of think is so boss for her is if she got like 20 mil and then he still gets arrested.
I know. I mean, justice could not be sweeter.
Wait, question though. Is he in custody? Like, has he been arrested?
I don't know where he is. Let's
That's,
see.
I'm curious. Like, I'm going to Google where he's
arrested. His sons were arrested.
Because it doesn't sound like he got arrested. Combs is not in jail, but according to ABC News, agents were seen detaining two men. That's his sons.
Yeah, so they detained his sons, but I don't know where, like, he's like, probably in hiding.
I'm Googling, where's Diddy? Huh. We don't know. Like, it's not really saying.
I know, it's just bringing him.
He's definitely on a private plane fleeing the country.
For sure.
Like, she's
For
like, I gotta get
sure.
the fuck out of here. Oh my God. Okay, so story developing. Oh, one thing we should close the loop on, is all of the Kate Middleton stuff, because I know you were so heated this weekend because people were being savages in your comments about, once the news came out that Kate Middleton obviously has cancer, I immediately felt bad for speculating. Like, I do think people did, but you especially were getting it hard because people were just like, people on the internet, you're damned if you do, you're damned if they don't. They want you to talk about it, then you do, and then they say you did something wrong. Like, tell me from your
Correct.
perspective, like, what happened? Because I thought your defense of yourself made a lot of sense and was very, like, founded and just.
I mean, normally I don't respond to this type of stuff and I don't respond with that kind of energy. I was on my last leg when that all
Yeah.
happened. I was
Yeah.
supposed to be taking a mental health day. Like, I literally had to pull over in my car to make that video. My phone died, like, shut off because so many people started texting me when that happened. And I was like in the car in the valley going to my other friend's birthday. Like, it all was just like too overwhelming. And then I like
Yeah.
came out of my friend's birthday and I'm like seeing these comments being like, don't you think you should apologize? Da 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 da. And I went back and I watched my videos and I was like, I never speculated anything about Kate. Like, we talked about things and I said, like, you haven't given me reason to believe that she's alive. Yes. And we speculated about the affair. Yes. On the podcast. But like, I first of all always said, like, I hope I'm wrong. I'm worried about her safety. The comms team is the one messing up. And so I also went back and watched my videos and I was like, I actually like didn't speculate one thing. And every time there was an image of her, I was like ready to accept it at face value. And I
Yeah,
did.
you did
And it
say
was
that.
other
Yeah.
people, I've said that on the podcast, like, other people were asking me for updates. Like, I didn't do like that much stuff. So I just took it very personally in that moment. And I was like, I actually didn't make one speculation in any of these things. When they shared her, I took it at face value. And then when it turned out they lied, I had an opinion on the comms teams and not Kate at all. Never really brought up Kate, She was the subject of a broader conversation. So I just lost it. I obviously feel bad that her diagnosis is like a challenging one. Like, it's terrible. But I'm not like, both things can be true. Like, the Kensington Palace comms team lied to us and tried to fabricate reality as it related to people questioning what was going on. And for them to have a thing of being like, never complain, never explain, they tried to explain. And then on top of that, blamed Kate when they got caught, the woman
Yeah.
who's got cancer.
Yeah.
It was just like, people,
I
I'm like, and then people getting mad at me. Sorry, one last thing.
Yeah.
Was just like, you have this mob mentality of wanting to be mad at everybody that talked about it, but you haven't actually gone and like watched what I said.
It's just people wanting to be mad at something. Here's the thing. And this is what I said because I made a thread about it. I was like, it is fun when the entire internet is conspire, like when there's a conspiracy theory and we're all picking and pronging and poking at it. Like, I was thinking the other day, like, Kim Kardashian must feel like such an asshole. Her caption was, "Where's Kate?" And she has millions of followers, hundreds of millions. And I was like, it just goes to show the level that this was on, the level that people were talking about it. Like, it kind of is sometimes fun. You obviously forget sometimes what you're like speculating on could be something so serious. And that's where I start feeling bad, because usually I kind of know better, where I'm like, I'm not gonna speculate, who knows? But like, even I got a little caught up in this because of the way the royal family was handling it. Like, the photoshopped picture, like, they were being out of control. And I think that this has really, I saw that they're hiring a new communications team or something. And I
For
think it's really,
$1.
yeah, like, it made them though realize like they are not handling things correctly. And I think they honestly did her a disservice and they really fueled all of this speculation because they didn't handle this properly at all.
Alyssa, they lied to the public, to the people that pay the royal family's bills through their taxes. They lied to them. And then they blamed Kate, being like, oops, I Photoshopped wrong. My editing is off. I remember we're like touch retouch. Like
Yeah, like signing the thing in her
they threw
name.
her under the bus. And the other thing is like where I go or where I went, because I have a very decorated understanding of the royals. Keep in mind, I'll say it again because people forget, I'm Canadian. We are under the Commonwealth. I grew up, we have the royals on our money. Like we understand the inner workings that Americans look at them like celebrities and for entertainment. Like
Yeah.
I have had this history with them. Like what people don't understand is like, how did Charles have cancer, make this announcement, go into treatment, everybody left him alone? And the same thing was happening with Kate, and they didn't think to handle it in the same way. But in addition to that, you have to understand the power dynamics between Charles and William, in that why wouldn't like the Buckingham Palace go to the Kensington Palace comms team and be like, hey, you're not handling this well. Let us help you. They don't help each other. They don't communicate. They actually probably enjoyed that Kensington Palace comms were botching this so badly, because it makes Charles and his team look amazing. Like there's so many layers to this that people don't consider. And I just like don't understand from a familial perspective, like how did nobody say to that comms team, look at how we rolled out Charles. Let's do that and just be done with it.
Well, but I did kind of respect how they didn't tell anyone the truth. I'm not talking about the way they did it. But I kind of liked that they kept her secret because she needed that privacy and that time, but they just didn't roll out the rest of it. They could have left people not guessing so much because they were so unclear in their communications, it made people make up their own theories, and that's where things really spun out of control. But like, I do respect that they didn't tell us right away that she had cancer because she wanted that privacy and she wanted that time to tell her children. And like that, I don't disagree with at all. Like, everyone's entitled. I know technically they're not because they're public, whatever. But if I was her and I was in that situation, even given what I signed up for, I would hope and pray to God that someone in that fucking castle would respect my fucking privacy for a second if I needed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do that with Meghan and Harry, but then
Not
they
at all.
suddenly did it with Kate.
Not at all, but you would hope that they would. Like, you hope at the end of the day, people are decent humans. And I feel like these people just prove over and over again that they're willing to throw anyone under the bus for their own agenda. But about the actual diagnosis, like, it is really awful. I wish I understood I mean, it's none of my business, but I wish I understood the severity of it. It sounds like she will be okay. I pray she will be. She's young, like, she's a mother, like, it's really awful. I was not expecting them to say she had cancer. Like, I was so shook by that news. And also, just after we heard the Olivia Munn stuff, like, I'm just triggered by all this, like, young women
I
cancer shit.
know. I know. It was really shocking. I hope she's okay. Again, I always worry that we're not being told the truth when it comes to the royal family. And to add insult to injury, they broke the public's trust with the way they handled this. So for them to say she's getting preventative chemo and she will be okay, like, I'm concerned, you know? Like,
Because you just
I
don't trust the thing they say at this point.
yeah. Yeah.
I take things
You
too at
know,
face value. I'm like, but she's getting treatment.
I mean, I did until they told, like, had to come back and double down and say they photoshopped. Like,
That
I
was
was taking
crazy.
everything at face value
Yeah.
until they were like, nope, I didn't even post that photo. Like, I posted the car photo and them walking. I never posted the Mother's Day photo. Because it was just like, there's too much going on. I made a video after, like catching people up, but I was just like, this is all just too much. But
It's
here we
crazy.
are.
It's really crazy. I feel awful for her and her family, and it's one of those things where there's a lot going on over there between the king and her and this and that. And oh my gosh,
It is
it's a
a
lot.
hard time for the monarchy, for sure.
It is definitely a hard time.
And I feel for those kids, and I feel for like where my gut goes is like something happens to these older people, older compared to the kids, and they're thrown into responsibilities that they are so young to take on.
That's so interesting. I just started Game of Thrones this weekend with Sean. Have you ever seen it?
Of
And like
course.
The new king is like 16. I'm like, could you imagine?
No. But like Queen Elizabeth, I think she was 24 when her father passed away and she had to take over.
That's crazy. That's young.
Yeah.
That's insane. All right. I think that does it for today.
That does it. This is
a lot
a good
of heavy
one.
Topics. Yeah.
I know. I'm glad though. Next week, will we be back in person?
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. No, next week we will. I'm like, that's not the Coachella week, is it? Next week we're here.
Yeah.
We'll be IRL.
Yay. I miss you.
I miss you. I'll see you soon.
Okay. Thanks everyone
I'll
for
talk to you
listening.
Guys.
We'll see you next week.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.